And kicking off this hour, our exclusive interview with Canucks, chairman of Canucks Sports and Entertainment, Francesco Aquilini. How's it going, Frank?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. It's good. You came into studio, you immediately mentioned Dud Soda. So Randeep is like smiling ear to ear right now. He could not be happier.
Word is growing about Dud Soda.
I know. It's getting traction there.
There we go. Okay, things
we
are working.
To brand it.
Yeah, you're hearing about it everywhere. Dud Soda. It's sweeping Vancouver as we know it. Yeah.
And he didn't have a negative reaction to you italicizing the name.
I mean, it's just what we do here on the People's Show.
But you got to pronounce it right, Dud.
Yes,
you have to do it right.
Yes,
there we
right.
go.
That I got to do better. Yeah. It is the People's Show. So Francesco, it's your 15th year. You've been the owner of the Canucks now. How has the process been for you? What have you learned in your time steering this ship?
Mm-hmm. It's been quite a journey. Growing up a Canucks fan in my whole life. Growing up an East fan, it's been quite something. And being an owner, it's a privilege. I talked to some of the other owners, and what they say is, you're just holding it for the next guy because the Canucks will be here 100 years from now, but what I've learned is, the passion of the fans, in Vancouver. I mean, I travel, all over all of the other NHL arenas, and, I come back home and I really see how passionate our fans are. I mean, they're so engaged, they're so involved, they're educated, they understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, ever since, as a little kid, you want to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm never going to be content until I, really reward the fans, their passion with the Stanley Cup. I'm not going to be happy until that happens.
Well, and you know how passionate they are and how hot that passion runs sometimes. So how do you feel about this team heading into this year that can maybe, get people believing in them again?
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I feel good about it. I mean, if you look at this team, what it takes to be successful. I mean, it's a group of people that come together. I mean, that's what it is. And we have such a young core that's so, very talented, and, Jim adding to the roster, bolstering up, with some players, and that general feeling of optimism. I sense it, that sense of optimism in the dressing room with the guys. And, I feel good about it. I feel very optimistic. I think this team is more indicative of what we saw in the bubble as opposed to what happened last year. I mean, last year was a real disappointment. And, that's kind of what I see. I think we're really the team that's going to continue on from what was achieved in the bubble.
Yeah. Well, you talked about fans and how central they are to the team, of course, the identity of the organization. When will Rogers Arena come back to full capacity? Do you have any sense of that right now?
Well, right now we're 50%, and we're the only arena in North America to have, not full capacity, which is odd. And, you can question that. And, I'd like to see 100%, obviously, but that's going to be up to the provincial health officer to decide that. But, my understanding is there's some indication that will be, changed by the time we have our opening game. And, I think that eventually it's going to get there because we're the only team. So, I think by default, we'll have to get there.
Francesco Aquilini joining us here on the People's Show. Last year, a lot happened, but managing the team through the pandemic, how challenging was that?
Oh, it was, you can't imagine how tough it was in so many fronts, right? The, from the player perspective, from, not having fans in the building, we were just in survival mode. I mean, the way it started, there was no training camp. I mean, we had this rocky start. We had all these new players there. They didn't kind of quite gel, right away. And, a lot of these players underperformed. I mean, they could do a lot better. Those first 15 games was mm-hmm. pretty scary. Mm-hmm. And, everybody knew they were better than that. And so it took them a while to get going. And then, and then COVID hit. And then Elias Pettersson got injured, so many things kind of all happened, and it was just such a disappointment. I mean, it was really, you know, I think it was an anomaly. I mean, I like to think that. I like to believe that, that it's just like it was like a one-off bad year. And, you know, so now we're just going to look to the future.
And it was a tough year for everybody involved. I mean, yourself as an owner as well, because we were dealing with the pandemic, and economically that has an impact. So how did it force you to perhaps operate differently? Because you can't have everybody employed through a pandemic like that. So how much did that affect you budget-wise from a normal year?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly. It was really tough. I mean, you know, there was no fans in the building. You know, it was empty. And, you know, we had to lay off people, and, you know, people had, you know, the families and mortgages to pay. And, you know, it was really difficult. And that was probably the, you know, in my business career, you know, been in business 40 years, that was probably the toughest year I ever had to deal with, you know, from the COVID protocols, from the health issues, from laying people off and dealing with revenue challenges. I mean, you know, we as a league decided that we're going to play, the NHL is going to play regardless, even if there's no fans. And so that, you know, that costed us a lot of money. We lost a lot of money, but, you know, we wanted to play. We wanted to keep, you know, keep everything going. And so we did the best we could. And, you know, we went down to a very small group of employees of management, and, you know, they did a hell of a job. I mean, those guys worked so hard given what we had to deal with, but it was probably the toughest year in business I ever had to deal with.
You're listening to Sportsnet 650. We're joined by Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini. And Francesco, I know there's a lot of fans, and we'd like to know the answer to this as well.
Yeah.
This team under Jim Benning has made the playoffs two times.
Mm-hmm.
What's behind all the faith in this management group for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, Jim has a vision, and you know, Jim has a vision how to build this team, and so we, you know, I want to follow through with that. And you know, these things take time. I mean, it's not something that you can cut corners, you know, or shortcuts. You know, you can, you know, build a team through free agents. I mean, it just doesn't work. I mean, and so what we've done is, you know, we've kind of drafted a lot of these young players, and now they're starting to come into their own, and, you know, now we've got them under contract. And, you know, all these guys we have are at the right age. And so now, I mean, now is the point where I think, you know, we have to take the next step. I mean, you know, Jim has, you know, bolstered the lineup, like I was saying. You know, now's the time to take the next step to move forward. But, like, you know, like I said before, I think this is more of a team that we saw in the bubble than what we saw last year. You know, so
you could tell the speculation was reaching pretty high levels about the management's future during last season, as things started to fall apart early on. Why did you feel it was necessary to go out publicly on Twitter and say that this management group is here for the foreseeable future?
Hey, listen, I mean, look, I mean, I can understand the passion of the fans. Like, I really believe that, you know, but, you know, like, you know, dissing people because, you know, you're just second guessing every decision they make. You know, I don't agree with that. So, you know, that's why, you know, I went on Twitter and, you know, and back Jim, because I mean, things take their time. And I think now we've reached the point where, you know, we're going to see some results. So right now I'm backing Jim. And if you're going to diss anybody, you know, diss me, you know, I mean, Jim is doing his job. And, you know, these are very difficult circumstances. I mean, this is not easy. You know, you have to wait for right opportunities. I mean, you know, making player trades, drafting, all those things that happen, signing players. It's very complicated. It's a very fluid moving target. And, you know, I listen, Jim and his management team are working hard. They're working hard, and they're putting the best team they can on the ice, you know, so.
You mentioned that people shouldn't diss Jim, but diss you instead. Did you feel somewhat responsible then for some of the failures of last year? Because you're all grouped together. Is that why, to some degree?
I mean, you know, everybody has to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, it's the players playing on the ice, and then the coaches and management and me. But I think as a group, I'm not playing, so I can't really, you know. But, I mean, in terms of supporting Jim, I mean, I can take that responsibility, you know.
Looking back at last year and the disappointments that, you know, occurred, obviously it got pretty nasty at times. And, you know, I'm not going to surprise anybody by mentioning the Fire Jim banner that was flown across the city. Mm-hmm. When that happens, what are you feeling?
You know, I mean, you know, I think that's like a cheap shot. I think it's no class. I think that, you know, people who do that, you know, they got too much time on their hands, you know, but at the same time, you know, he has a family. I mean, you know, how do you want to, you know, would you want to see your husband or your father, you know, getting hung out like that? I mean, it's just low budget, no class. That's what I think.
Part of it comes back to the passion of the fan base, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe not getting to be at Rogers Arena last year and expressing some of those displeasures with how things were going plays a factor into that. But you know, it was a tough year. And how do you feel it affected the organization from an outside perspective?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was, you know, very disappointed. I mean, just as much as everybody else. Mm-hmm. But you have to take everything in context, like I was saying, about what happened and, you know, the injuries, the COVID, this, that. There's so many things. Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Right.
You know, and so last year we were kind of in survival mode. I mean, we got hit, you know, COVID. I think that we got most affected by any sports team in North America. I mean, that's crazy. To think that half of our team was out with COVID for 2 weeks, and it's insane. I can't even imagine. So, I mean, to expect them, you know, to come back, and it was hard. I mean, and we didn't get the success we wanted, but you know, now that's behind us, and I think we, this team is more indicative of a team that's in the bubble. That's what I think.
Francesco Aquilini is our guest here on the People Show on Sportsnet 650. And you kind of mentioned Jim's vision and trying to see that through. And you made a couple of additions, big time additions to the front office this offseason, Henrik and Daniel Sedin. How do they fit in with your long term vision and how you see them being part of the organization moving forward?
Yeah, so Daniel, you know, they're fantastic people. I mean, I've known them forever and they're just first class. And so when they retired, you know, I went up to them and I said, look, would you guys want to be part of the organization? And they said, no, you know, we do, but not right now. And they wanted to spend some time with their families, you know, spend a little time away from the game. And then I kind of always knew they wanted to come back because they live here. Like, I mean, they're in the community, they're entrenched. They love the team. They've been part of the team. They've been, you know, how many, 19, 20 years they've been here. And so, you know, when they were ready, I knew they were going to come back. And so they approached me and they said, look, we want to come back. We're ready. And I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was great. So now they're just kind of, you know, getting their feet wet. We're just trying to figure out, you know, where they're going to fit in and how they're going to help. But, you know, it's amazing. We're so lucky to have them. I mean, they're just great people. That's the start. You know, in any organization, mm-hmm. It always starts with having great people.
Absolutely. You're listening to Sportsnet 650. We're joined by Francesco Aquilini. Francesco, 10 years ago, this organization obviously almost reached the top of the mountain by going to the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7, mm-hmm. and was known as one of the most cutting edge mm-hmm. in sports. Forget hockey, but mm-hmm. sports. How do you get back to that point, and how do you get back to the Stanley Cup Final?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, right? That's the one. So, I mean, everything has to align. I mean, it starts with the players, having the right group of players, you know, with the right experience. Comes with the coaching and management, you know, the alignment throughout the whole organization. And then ultimately, it comes to chemistry, right, when the guys come together, right? And, you know, that's always the magic trick. That's the magic dust is the chemistry. And, you know, I talk to, you know, other coaches in other, you know, other sports leagues and soccer and football, and I ask them the question, you know, what does it take to win? And they all say the same thing. You know, they always say it's chemistry. It's the end of the day is how do the guys come together? And so that's an ongoing thing. And so, you know, I always like there's that saying that, you know, it's not the players with the best team, but it's, you know, it's not the team with the best players, but the players with the best team. You know, it's about mm-hmm. that, you know, coming together and believing in something. And I think that with this group, I mean, you know, they're all, you know, pretty close, and you know, we've got a bunch of good guys, and you know, we're gonna, you know, like, hope they do it. I mean, it's up to the players ultimately at the end of the day, you know.
But your ambition is the same that it was back in 2011?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at back then there was, you know, we hired some sports scientists, we had some stuff going on, and some of it worked, some of it didn't work, and we learned a lot from that. And And all the good things that were found helpful in that time frame, we've kept. And some of the things that didn't work, we kind of eliminated. And we got a lot of feedback from the players, what they thought and what they thought was helpful, was useful. And so that kind of continued.
Francesco Aquilini, our guest here on the People's Show, Canucks and Oilers starting the season tonight in Edmonton. You'll hear at 7 o'clock here on Sportsnet 650. Is there an update on Jake Virtanen and the investigation?
You know, I know there's a, you know, he's under still an investigation, and I haven't heard anything. I think there's and there's a lawsuit going on, I think. So I really don't know much about that, other than that, you know, it's continuing. This investigation is ongoing.
Is it the police department doing that?
I think there's still an investigation going on. I believe so. Yeah.
Looking ahead to this season, and we talked about the ambition of the organization. We talked a lot about last year and what the shortcomings were, but expectations for Francesco Aquilini for this year, what are they?
Expectations for me?
For the organization.
Oh, for the organization.
For the team. What do you see?
We'll get to your expectations. If you have personal ones, you can let us know.
Yeah, we can have an introspective chat here too, Francesco.
Okay. So I tell you something, you know, I'd be really, really disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs, right? I mean, I'd be really disappointed. So given that, I mean, we got a good group, hopefully these guys can come together and we'll see. We'll see what this group can do together, you know.
When it comes to Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, the negotiations just wrapped up and they got a couple of preseason games in. You mentioned you're a fan, you know, as much as anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of a part do you play in that, or is that on the management group to get that done and ready for the regular season?
I don't have a very big part in that at all. So, I mean, you know, Jim does all the negotiations and, you know, that goes back and forth with the agent. There's a lot of factors to consider, you know, the salary cap, you know, the comparables, there's so many factors. And, you know, Jim and his team, they look at that. And then, you know, he comes up and recommends this is what we should do. And, you know, I say yes, you know. I think that, you know, from an owner, you know, we write the checks and we rely on, you know, Jim's expertise. And, you know, I question him and, you know, I ask him questions and say, what about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And, you know, Jim is, you know, pretty very well prepared. And so, you know, by the time that comes where he makes the recommendation, it's just like it's all thought through, you know, comparables, you know, like the salary cap issues, what's going to happen next year, the year after that, like all the analysis is done. So Jim presents the whole analysis to me and I look at it and, you know, if all the work is done, then I'm good with it, you know.
And how much has that relationship kind of evolved over time and how much improvement? Because, you know, obviously Jim's still here and you believe in the vision. Mm-hmm. So how much has that evolved over time and how much improvement have you seen from him in that regard?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Jim, I mean, you know, we've worked together for a number of years and he makes his presentation, he makes his case, what he wants to do, who he wants to, you know, he wants to sign, he wants to draft, all that kind of stuff. And so, listen, you know, it's not going to be 100% every time, you know, he's going to make some good decisions and some decisions that are not good, just like in anything else in life. And I deal with that every day. So I understand that, you know, not every decision you make is going to be perfect. And as long as you make more better decisions than wrong decisions, like that's really the key. You got to make more right decisions than wrong decisions.
Well, one of the decisions you made this offseason was to move the AHL team from Utica to Abbotsford. Why was now the right time to do that?
Yeah, it was all the stars aligned. It was a perfect opportunity. You know, the city of Abbotsford wanted it. You know, the Utica contract came up. And, you know, Jim had a big part in that. He said, look, you know, we'd love to have the team in Abbotsford because, you know, having our players there, we can keep them close. You know, Jim can go and scout them. You know, having this, you know, Daniel and Henrik here, they said they, you know, they wanted to go and see the games and stay in touch with the younger players and see them along developing. So I thought that'd be great. So, and then the city of Abbotsford were fantastic. We negotiated a deal with them that was, you know, very comparable to the Utica deal. So, you know, we were excited and, you know, our guys, they pulled it out. The management team pulled it together in a very short period of time, right? Like it was only 3-4 months to put this whole thing together. And, you know, they did a great job.
How was that process, building a professional hockey team from scratch?
Yeah, it was amazing. These guys, I mean, we hired are, you know, top-notch guys. I mean, they're all experienced. I mean, you know, very dedicated, devoted, and, you know, we got a great team. And, it was exciting to see it all come together. And, you know, the city of Abbotsford and the Fraser Valley, you know, the fan base there have been incredible, right? Just incredible support. Like, everybody's been behind us. Anything we needed, they were there to help us, you know, so... That was a big part of it. You know?
And how has that been a part of your vision for a while, to kind of be able to have the farm team in your own backyard? Because for a while it was the Calgary Flames who were in Abbotsford. Did you have this vision for a long time about being able to unite both teams in the same market?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were in Utica and we had a contract there, and we couldn't move. And so when the contract was about to expire, I think we were there for 3-4 years. You know, when Abbotsford, we kept talking Abbotsford, you know, and so we thought, you know, it's a perfect distance from the city. You know, we've got a great fan base. It's a great building. And, you know, and it allows our hockey operations people to stay in touch with our, you know, with our developing young players. So we got some young players that are there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can stay in touch with it, get to be close to them. And, you know, the call-ups, you know, if you need a guy, he can come up, you know, just it's an hour drive as opposed to Utica. He's got to fly, got to catch 2 flights. So, I mean, this was something probably overdue, but, you know, we were on the contract with Utica, so we couldn't move until this last year.
What back roads are you taking that you get to Abbotsford in an hour? That's
yeah, it's at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah. The traffic usually doesn't allow for it.
I know. It depends when you go.
Yeah, right? 100%. Just to follow up on expectations. You talked about early on, it's been a process, and you want to build it right. You don't want to cut corners with this team, and that's been the plan with Jim all along. But when you look at expectations, you mentioned playoffs, it would be a disappointment not to get there. Do you see, you know, expectations being not just playoffs, but is there a build towards getting back to the Stanley Cup, you know, where we're a consistent playoff team and then we're working towards that? You know, playoffs, it seems like a bar that doesn't carry all the context, because sometimes you can get into the playoffs but maybe not look like a true Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, and we've seen that in the past. But, you know, I think, you know, when we say playoffs, it's the first step. And obviously, you know, you want to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's always the goal. But the first step is to get into the playoffs. And, you know, with this group, they're young players. You know, our core guys are young, and they've had a little bit of experience in the bubble. And, you know, they see how hard it is in the playoffs. And the one thing about in the salary cap era, you know, I mean, once you're in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Like we saw with the Canadians last year, like nobody expected the Canadians to go to the finals. It was kind of an anomaly, but, you know, so many things can kind of happen. And just like when we were in the bubble, like nobody expected us to, you know, to go one game within the Western Conference final, you know, and Besser puts that shot in, you know, like, you know, Vegas panics and we could win the game, right? It's just like, you know, who knows? Anything can happen. And so, you know, right now for our group, right, it's like the focus is, you know, the next 82 games.
Yeah.
Right? Focusing on and learning from every game what it takes, the hard work, the dedication, the commitment, right, to being the best player you can be. It's like it's the next 82 games. Like, that's what they have to think about. This group right now, you know, we've got a whole bunch of new players and our guys are developing and, you know, and Jim and Travis and everybody together. Like, they got to focus right now what's in front of them. Like, to start thinking the Stanley Cup right now, that's in April, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do between now and April? And what are we going to learn and how are we going to build? And, what are we going to do for each other?
Right. It's Francesco Aquilini. I got to say, next time we have you in studio, we probably have to get some dud soda ready.
Absolutely. We'll have the glasses ready and the cream soda and everything.
Right, yeah.
I'll bring the espresso and maybe some biscotti as well. Okay. And we'll have a time.
And Sat will bring something too.
Okay. Yeah. I usually come empty handed.
You bring some wine.
Yeah. There we go. Yes, right. I do like my wine.
All right. all three work. Francesco, it's been really exciting seeing this team come together, and we'll see how it fares this season. Thank you for coming in studio today.
Fantastic. Thank you for asking me to come.